But out of the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, I want to give you something in Isaiah 40. There's one verse, verse number one. I got one word that I want to give you. Comfort. Watch what Isaiah says in chapter 40 and verse number one. Comfort ye, my people. Saith your God. The word I cannot get out of my head is the word comfort. I will confess to you that preachers are good men, the ones that I know, but too often times preachers get something in their head and they'll never deviate from what they've got. I've got friends, and if they're in the middle of a series, they're going to preach that series no matter what, and that's wonderful, that's fine. I've got some guys, and man, they've got a sermon, and they've got everything lined up with the choir, and they've got every song, and that's fine. But I think too many times preachers are so adamant on getting their 3 points and their poem and their routine and their outline out so that people know that they've been busy during the week, that they forget sitting in the pews are people. Not numbers, not congregants, people. Many times preachers get up and they don't heed the words of Solomon in the Proverbs when he said, "Look well to know the state of thy flock." A lot of times it's very difficult in a crowd this size to know what everybody is going through. But I've been doing it long enough to realize all y'all's just people. There's rich people and poor people, white people, black people, pretty people, ugly people, skinny people, fat people. There's people that have a house and some people that live in an apartment, but y'all just people. At the end of the day, every person in this room is in one of several different categories. Number one, you're either in a state of confusion. You woke up this morning not knowing what the day was going to hold because you're just trying to get over what happened yesterday. You're in a state of confusion. And to those of you that are in the state of confusion, hear the word of the Lord, comfort. There are people in this room right now, you and your spouse are absolutely just butting heads over everything. He doesn't know what he's doing. You think she doesn't have a clue. You think if his mama wasn't this and if her daddy wasn't that or if his grandma wasn't this or her aunt wasn't that, you just constantly live. I'm hitting on something right now. I can see it in your eyeballs. And you just stay in this constant state of confusion. And you keep having the same argument and you keep saying, why can't things just be easy? Hear the word of the Lord, comfort. There are people in this room right now brokenhearted. You have walked down the last days and weeks and months and years, and today at lunch there'll be an empty seat. Today at the table, the person that used to sit there and complain about the cooking, you would die just to hear their voice. Hear the word of the Lord to the broken. Comfort. There are people in this room right now that just don't care. There are people in this room right now, your heart has got a brick wall up in front of it. You don't want your mama to know about it. You don't want anybody to know how you really feel because down on the other side of that brick wall, and we got brick walls around here, and I'm going to put sheetrock up over brick walls. I don't like brick walls. They remind me of hardness. They remind me of callousness. They remind me that you can't do anything about it. But everybody that's on this side of a brick wall realizes there's another side to a brick wall, and in your hardness, we might see one thing, but you know on the other side of that brick wall in your soul is a broken heart. A daddy you just wish told you, I love you and I'm proud of you. A mama you wished had been what you thought, and hear the word of the Lord, comfort. You come into the house of God, and I don't know what people seek when they come into a place like this. I don't know if it's the lights or the show or the singing or the hooping and the hollering preacher that's going to dance around and tiptoe and jump and do all this stuff. Hear the word of the Lord, comfort. I was looking at that word, comfort. And I took a line and I drew a line right through the center of that word. And on one side, you've got the word come. And on the other side, you've got the word fort. A fort is not that pillow thing you build for your youngins in the living room. That's something you do to keep them from bothering you the rest of the day. A fort is that place you escape to keep safe while it rages around you. And God says, come to the fort. Brothers and sisters, it's amazing what we flee to. It is amazing what we run to. But every time we run to something, we run away from something. And that's what people in this room do day after day as you flee to things you think will bring you safety, only to realize you're running from the very one that is your security. What is your comfort? I'll give you three things that is your comfort. I don't have everything figured out, and you ain't got everything figured out. Your mama ain't got everything figured out. Your daddy ain't got everything figured out. Your granny that tells everybody she's got it all figured out, she ain't got it all figured out either. There ain't a person in this room that's got anything figured out. So what can we find? I'm not talking about feeling better. I'm not talking about looking better. I'm not talking about acting better. I'm talking about being on the inside of something while it all rages on the outside. Several years ago, some of you may remember, we were down in Burlington, North Carolina. There was a big tent meeting that CT had down in Burlington called the Burlington Revival. We were a part of that, and one night, the storm got to raging around. There were 3,000 people in this gospel tent on the side of I-40, right in between Greensboro and Raleigh. 3,000 people. And beloved, I'm telling you, a storm came up like nobody's business. If I'm lying, I'm dying. Tell you what happened. We were in that tent and the wind started raging. And I'm not talking about Tennessee wind. I'm talking about North Kakalaki got hooked on something, blowing hard wind. Y'all got straight line storms up here. We got hurricanes. The tent poles started dancing. The wind got up inside of that tent and 28-foot canvas cathedral started bouncing in the wind. We were inside something, but it wasn't doing us much good from what was blowing on the outside. That's the junk you're trying to find comfort in. You can't figure out why you keep fleeing to it and nothing occurs but just raging on the inside like raging on the outside. Three things that is my comfort this morning. I didn't learn this in seminary. I have not learned this in a Bible book. I've learned this from my experience in life. Number one, the first thing that is our comfort is the covenant we have with God. Notice what it says, comfort ye, what? My people. He said, I want you to tell the people that are down there that I still own them. Now, what's so special about that? Why does that matter? Here's why that matters. Because Brother Isaiah is writing to a people that have abandoned God, that have walked away from God, that have turned God aside, that are doing their own thing. They've raised up idols to Molech. They've raised up idols to Baal. They've raised up idols to Ashtaroth. They've gone every which way but to the God of heaven. But he sends word to the prophet Isaiah. He says, you let the people know they may have walked away from me, but I have not walked away from them. They may have turned their back on me, but I have not turned my back on them. Why? Not because of who they are, but because of their forefather, the one that came before them, named Brother Abraham. I made a covenant with Brother Abraham that I would not abandon his seed. I would not turn away from his seed. I would not throw his seed to the side, but that they would be my seed all the days that God is alive. And I don't know if you've read that book lately, but that's going to be a real long time. And after that real long time's over, it's just day one, because forever and forever and forever, they're going to be the seed of God. You say, well, I'm not Jewish and I don't know Father Abraham. Me either, and I'm not Jewish either, but a covenant was made with me a long time ago at an old rugged cross when Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Son of Abraham, the Son of David, the Son of Mary, the Son of Joseph, the Son of Omnipotence, the Rose, the of Sharon, the Lily of the Valley, the Bright and the Morning Star, the one that's altogether lovely, the one that's altogether holy, the one that's altogether omnipotent, the one that's altogether good, the one that's altogether great, the one that's altogether lovely, the one that's altogether holy and righteous and eternal and pure and forever. He's the one in the beginning, and he'll be the one at the end, because he is the Alpha and he is the Omega. He is the beginning and he is the ending. He's the one that was before all. He's in all and he'll be after all. He's the one that created it all, holds it all together, and after it's all said and done, he'll recreate it all. And on top of bloody Golgotha, Jesus Christ, the Rose of Sharon, he walked up bloody Golgotha's hill, carrying a 33 and a half pound crossbar on his shoulders. That wasn't a crossbar he deserved. It was a crossbar I deserve and you deserve. But the reason he went up Calvary's hill is because he was about to make a covenant with the Father. And a covenant means something has to be cut open. And there that day on bloody Calvary, Jesus Christ, the lovely Lamb of God, he was impaled to that cross. And as the blood drained from his body, and as he looked up to the Father, he looked up to the Father and he said, it is finished. But that's just what happened from here to there. What happened from there to here is recorded in Romans chapter number 3. For therefore we are justified by faith through the blood of his redemption. What does that mean? Up in heaven, God leaned over the ivory palaces of glory and he looked down the Milky Way, condescended into the solar system, looked down into that mud ball called dirt, and he went to the eastern side of the earth. He came down to the northern side of Jerusalem, and as the Lord Jesus looked up to the Father and he said, it is finished, the Father looked down at the Son and he said, I can't look on that. He turned his back on his own Son. Why? Because his Son had just borne the weight of our sin. But in that moment when he said, it is finished, he turned his back on his Son and he went to the holy place and he said, I'm satisfied forever. I am satisfied because of the righteous blood of Jesus Christ. God the Father said, as long as he's alive, I'm satisfied with everybody in him. Well, let me tell you something. You crazy, and so am I. You got issues, and so do I. Your mama's got issues, and so does mine. So does mine. You messed up, so am I. I should have fallen out of the hand of God a long time ago. In fact, if you could lose your salvation, I'd have done lost it. But today, I've come to the fort and I'm safe
not because of me, but because of the one that I stand behind. Brothers and sisters, you can't stand behind a liquor bottle big enough. You can drink until they call you Jack Daniels and you become a fish and have gills and float in the sea. Ain't a bottle big enough to bring you comfort. Didn't bring your daddy comfort. Didn't bring your granddaddy comfort. And it ain't gonna bring you comfort. You can snort yourself until your nostrils and your septum burn. You can't find enough crack to bring comfort. You can bounce from person to person to person, relationship to relationship to relationship. You can't find comfort because they're not big enough to hide behind. But through the covenant of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, I am forgiven. And today, I have comfort because of the covenant. Number two, I don't just have comfort because of the covenant that God has with me, but number two, I have covenant because I have a comforter. I don't just have a covenant, I have a comforter. I have a built-in something that gives me comfort when everything around me says no comfort. Who is the comforter? John chapter 15, John chapter 16, and John chapter number 17. The intercessor is praying. He says, but before I go, John chapter number 16, he said, I'm going to send you somebody. And if somebody's going to do something for you, the first thing he's going to do for you is he's going to convict you of sin, convict you of righteousness, and convict you of judgment. Second thing he's going to do is he's going to be your comforter. I don't want to die. But I sure enough don't want to die hungry. I can think of a lot of ways that I'd rather go than starving to death. Are there any other rednecks in the house that would agree with me on that situation? I don't want to starve to death, Dave. I got this hankering yesterday. We was riding down Coles Ferry. My beloved was with me and our little girl was in the back. And riding down Coles Ferry and came to that road that comes across Coles Ferry, and I don't know what that road is. But off to the right, it said, Lester Farms. I don't know. Now look, don't you get all mad because you got a farm that sells stuff. If you got a farm that sells stuff, you gonna give me something for free? You call me, I'll promote your junk next week. Sit there and get all bowed up because I didn't mention your apple pies. You give me an apple pie, bless God, I'll mention it. Albert, I was hungry. There was something gnawing on me from the inside. I ain't eat all morning. My wife didn't make me not a blessed thing yesterday morning for breakfast. I told her I was hungry. She said, Brother Pop and Tartar in the refrigerator, you help yourself, or in the camp, whatever you got to do. There was this gnawing. So we pulled in to the Lester Farms. We pulled off, and I got out. I had on my boots, so I looked the part yesterday, because you know I'm looking for a farm right now. Say amen right there. And I go in to the Lester Farms. Inside Lester Farms, they got all this strawberry. We just started getting stuff. We started getting stuff. Erica, am I lying? I bought bacon cheddar bread. I got Crohn's disease. I ain't supposed to eat bacon or cheese. I bought bacon cheddar bread. We got cinnamon rolls. We got strawberries. I got three glass Dr. Peppers. What am I going to do with three glass bottled Dr. Peppers? We couldn't even open them. It took us 15 minutes to realize you twist the top off of them things. You know, we had, I don't know how much money. I just handed her money. I don't know what we bought. I really don't know what we bought. But as I was walking out, Dave, They had these fried strawberry and rhubarb pies. I hit a nerve right there. I could feel, I heard that. Yeah. Erica, we left that place. Poor little Erica's she's in the passenger seat, and her legs are turned sideways. We had piled up so much stuff. I had a loaf of bacon and cheddar bread right here. Ella's got a pile of something in the back, and I got that strawberry and rhubarb pie. And we're riding down the road, and I'm dying with hunger. I stayed hungry for another. Oh, and we got them corn pop things. What are those things? Yummy Crunch, thank you, Jesus. For 30 minutes, I stayed hungry. You know why? Because it wasn't enough to be around the food. The food had to get in me. I finally had enough. I looked at my wife, I said, I don't care if you say I can't eat in this car, crack open that fried pie. I took the wrapper off of that thing. And y'all remember the cartoons where they just the whole thing in their mouth? I ate that entire strawberry rhubarb pie. And so help me, I know why the Pentecostals speak in tongues now. I did it right there in the truck before God and everybody. I did it right there in the truck. Clinton, it hit me this morning as I was thinking about this. There's a whole lot of people in this room that are around the comforter. You're around the things, but you've never given your life to Jesus Christ. Therefore, the comforter, the Holy Ghost, has never gone from the outside. And that's why when you leave here, your heart feels better, but your insides, that spiritual place, has no comfort. Because you don't have the comforter. He said, saith your God. It's not just enough for us to be His people. He's got to be your God. He says, those are my people. But is He your God? Beloved, you saw those four people get baptized a while ago. There are people in this room, you've never taken that step of faith to let the world know He's my God. I'm not ashamed. He's my God. Nick, where are you at? I want to talk to mamas and daddies. Stay with me. Don't go anywhere. I want to talk to those of you this morning that are so broken in this house. You feel like your world's in a million pieces. That's the world we live in. That's where we're at today. There is comfort to be found in walking with Christ. Just because you've been to church and just because you've been, it don't mean you're walking with God. Sometimes hardness settles in. Hear what God says to you. There's comfort. What does that mean? It means no matter how much it's raging on the outside, you're safe on the inside. I don't know who you are this morning. I don't really know why I've given that word. But you've been crying and you've been broken and you've been waiting on God to tell you it's going to be okay. And so the Lord says to you, here's comfort. It's going to be okay. Here's comfort. I want to talk to those of you in this room right now. You've never been saved. You've never trusted in Jesus Christ. Tyler, what do I do? In just a few seconds, you're going to see Christians get on this altar and they're going to line themselves around and they're going to call on God to help them. I want you to step out of your seat when they come. I want you to find your place. But when you get down here, I just want you to slip your hand up. When you slip your hand up, we're going to send somebody to you, and we're going to take a Bible and show you how you can know that you've been saved. You say, Brother Tyler, I know I've been saved, but I've never, ever confessed that He's my God, that I've trusted Christ. I've never been baptized. In just a second, when you see them come down, I want you to come down, and on this front row right here, there's going to be some people. You come up to them and you tell them, I want to be baptized. I want to make it public that I'm following Christ, that He's my God. You tell them, they're going to get you some information. You're going to get it on the next one. But I want to then talk to the last person in this room, and that's the one that is so hard right now. Unless you come out from behind that wall, God loves you too much to leave you behind it. Sometimes He'll start beating on it. I don't want to see the walls come crumbling down on you. I want you to come to Christ. I don't have any soppy stories. I don't have any tear-jerking things. I'm going to tell you, I'm just going to say, come to the fort and find comfort.